of the housekeeping items. So for that reason, I would call it a housekeeping item as opposed to the other items that we're looking at that are new amendments entirely, or new items. Not the other housekeeping items, but the other amendments that the commission is looking at that are.
And do you know what 2108 is?
2108 has to do with an emergency fund that is appropriated annually, set apart the sum of $5,000 to be known as the emergency fund of the council. The council may use such a fund and expend such a fund or any part thereof in its discretion for any purpose it may deem proper or advantageous to the public. The amendment we would like to make for that is to strike the next phrase, and shall not be required to furnish vouchers showing the purposes for which such expenditures were made, so that in the interest of transparency, the public would be given a report of when that fund is used. According to Mr. Scott of the OMF, the Office of Mining and Finance, this fund has only been used once by council in the time that he's been on working in the Office of Management and Finance. So I'm not concerned about misuse. Members of the housekeeping committee just like the concept of transparency.
Did you say that this is a $5,000 account?
It's a $5,000 sum according to the existing charter. So it's what I might call petty cash, actually. So it's $5,000 that currently council can use. So it's council as a whole can use for a discretionary use without going through the usual channels of funding.
Okay.
We like the idea of transparency, however.
I think I suggested it. Item two to get rid of it.
So I'm sorry, I stepped out of the room, but are you proposing some amendments to the existing resolution?
Yes.
Yes.
And that's 2-108 and 13-301?
Just to add those as housekeeping items that we might present to the public at public hearings.
And that has to do with the terms of the charter members and then the account that you were just describing.
Exactly. Oh, good.
Sorry, Lindley Reese with the City Attorney's Office. I was watching upstairs. I just want to clarify one point as I heard Sue discussing this. 2108, that change, Commissioner Fritz, was part of your original proposal. So I just want to make sure that may have gotten said while I was walking down. But.
It didn't. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, that's why you're here, Lindley. Just can I ask you, because I'm not familiar with the language here, is there some significance to whether it's a housekeeping item or not in terms of how we proceed today?
The only reason it makes a difference is because you have in your resolution distinguished in terms of the number of hearings that are required for them. In terms of how it gets placed on the ballot and what it looks like on the ballot, there's no difference from an elections perspective, if that's what you're asking. It just matters because you were saying you have to have two hearings if it's a non-housekeeping item, one hearing if it's housekeeping, or I'm sorry, two or more if it's a non-housekeeping item.
So with that clarification, I move that we add 2-108 to the list of housekeeping amendments, but not 13-301, which I think is a more substantial that requires two public hearings.
So, and again, just sorry, 13-301 refers to which item? Lindley, could you stay up here, please?
It's setting a term of 2 years for the Charter Commission members.
Okay, so you want to vote on that separately?
Yes.
Okay. So the motion is to add 2108. I'll second it. Any additional council discussion?
Mayor, Council, you have a substitute resolution, so you might want to vote on the substitute first.
The motion, that's not the motion on the floor, but thank you.
Before you amend.
Yes, so we want to adopt the substitute and then amend the substitute.
That's correct.
So I think we want to adopt
okay.
the substitute and amend.
What is the difference between the substitute and the original, then?
The substitute reflects some changes Commissioner Fritz had requested.
What
does that, does that include the addition of the two public hearings?
No, that was in the original.
That was in the original.
The original assigned some duties to ONI, which are either impossible or extremely difficult to do. The original said that ONI would provide notice of the hearing so that it could get into neighborhood newsletters. That's not possible with 2 weeks' notice.
And they would collect comments also.
And that ONI would collect comments, but nobody asked me whether we could do that, and we can't. So that's okay. Changed.
So my office will do those things.
What's that?
So as a result of that, yeah, my office will do the notifications and also take comments.
Okay.
So that's part of legislative
record. I will.
Would you withdraw your motion so we can vote on the substitute? So we're withdrawing the motion, and we're now going to move the substitute. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the substitute unless there's additional council discussion. Please call the vote on the motion to substitute.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Substitute is approved. Now, do you want to make your motion?
I move that we add 2-108 to the list of housekeeping amendments under the subsection specifying what are housekeeping amendments.
Second.
And moved and seconded. Additional council discussion.
And 2108 is the term of office?
No, this is the one about the $5,000 emergency fund, which the commission is suggesting to require vouchers for that, which both the mayor and I support.
And is 13301 the terms of office?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Can you please call the vote on the motion?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Motion is approved. Is there an additional motion?
I'd move to adopt 13-301.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded.
Well, can I ask the author of the motion, because I don't understand it. What's your motion?
The motion is to allow the terms of offices to be 2 years for Charter Commission members, correct?
And currently there are no terms?
Correct.
So we're clarifying that it would be added to the list of housekeeping amendments.
You're proposing that it be a housekeeping matter or added?
No, I'm amending the substitute resolution.
So if
he's proposing that, yes, that would be a housekeeping amendment that would only require one hearing rather than a substantial amendment which requires two.
Mayor, after the second on that, I just want a council discussion briefly so I understand the makers.
Well, we're in the midst of that right now.
Still three voted on the voters.
Yeah, I understand, but before we vote on the motion, I just have to ask the maker a question.
Go ahead.
So, Randy, the only issue that it seems to me before us is whether this issue is subject to two hearings or one hearing. Is that
correct? Right.
And could I just get the benefit of your view as to why you'd have only one and not two hearings on an issue like this?
I think that this is an issue that has arisen with one individual, and that early on the Charter Review Commission was told there was no process by which they could replace themselves. And thus, they essentially were going to be abandoned. I think for a variety of reasons, some messages have been sent to the Charter Review Commission that don't reflect the, first of all, what the will of the voters was when they adopted the Charter Review Commission. And I will tell you, I sat here and I was not one that thought this was a great idea. But when we put it on the ballot, I expressed reservations. But it passed, and it passed resoundingly. And I think now my job and the council's job is to facilitate the citizens that are the Charter Review Commission and not put up roadblocks to make their jobs as any more difficult than I think what it is. And it's a reasonable, I think, perfunctory, if I can, expectation that there be terms of offices. We do that for all boards and commissions in the city. I know of no other that doesn't have a term of office, and to me, this is a perfunctory housekeeping measure.
If your motion is defeated, then does the default that this would be subject to two hearings? So this is simply a question of whether.
I have a question about the two hearings too in the resolution.
But at least with respect to this
additional hearings. Yeah.
Additional hearings. So the purpose, the net effect of this motion is, if adopted, one hearing on this particular issue. If it's defeated, it's two or more under the current proposal before us.
Yes.
Okay.
What would be the, just to make sure we've got the discussion. What would be a reason not to support this? Is there a reason not to support this?
To support what?
A reason not to have, if I could just preview the topic slightly, only because I'm trying to get context. Are there any potential downsides to the Charter Commission having terms of office?
I think the question is not, no, there aren't. The question is it 1 year, is it 2 years, is it 3 years? Some of the Charter Commissioners have proposed it being 10 years. So I think it's, yes, I know. Thanks, Ms. Hardesty.
I didn't sign on for 10 years.
No. So I think, and it may be different in different situations. The reason that we were aiming for a shorter term for the current Charter Commission was in respect to the recession and the people's time being valuable, and that we just did an extensive, I think, 3-year charter review process under Mayor Potter. So sometimes that we might want a longer term, sometimes we might want a shorter term. We as a council are responsible and did do the resolution about how Charter Commission members are reappointed, and we gave ourselves the authority to set the terms of the current Charter Commission. I just think the charter is our constitution, and we need to have a robust discussion with our community members about anything that more than housekeeping. And to me, the term of charter commissioners is a significant issue that the community should be given ample opportunities to weigh in on.
Okay, unless there's additional views to be aired out.
Well, Mayor, it's now clear to me that this is not a question of whether it's 1, 2, or 3 years. It's not a question of whether it goes before the public on hearing or not. The net effect of the motion is it have one hearing or more than one hearing? So we're clear. So it's a procedural question.
Yep. Unless, thank you. Can you please call the vote on the motion to include 13301?
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
No.
Fish.
No.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. The motion to amend is approved. I would like to motion that we require the Charter Commission to either televise or tape and televise their hearings.
I'd like to second that, Mayor.
And then also, it sounds like Commissioner Leonard has a potential opinion on that, and then or on the number of hearings, and I'll let you take that up. The other is to require that they hold their hearings in different geographic locations. I think
you could. That's in there.
It's encourages as requires, just as a matter of clarity. I mean, I think I wouldn't view these as huge changes, but just to try to be clear about our legislative intent that I think it should be an assumption as opposed to an open question whether or not you can do that.
Well, I do think that will challenge the Charter Review Committee. We've been holding the hearings here at City Hall so that we had the opportunity to take advantage of the technology to tape the hearings. If we're required to do it somewhere else, then that requires additional resources that we don't have access to.
So I thought this whole thing relates to your final. So I'm mistaken. I thought this whole thing relates to your final, as you get to your finalizing your proposals.
No.
These are the public hearings. I believe you still have about $16,000 in the account, and we.
Well, I'm willing to invest more money for televised hearings and public hearings in different locations. So my motion references your hearings, the hearings regarding, and maybe it's just legislative intent so that you know our expectations so I don't mark it up here, but that as you get down to considering your final recommendations, that those have to be televised and those have to be done in different locations. They can't just be done at City Hall.
These would indeed be the final hearings before our final decision to take input for our final discussion and decision about what we put forth to the voters, either directly to the voters or through the City Council, depending on the number of votes on the commission. I would say that I appreciate your willingness to add more funding if necessary. We, in discussing the forums that we have held, we talked about going elsewhere in the city and had difficulty finding any place that because we've been pinching pennies because of our funding, we had difficulty finding places that where things could be televised and that were accessible, and that's one of the reasons we'd like this.
You're talking to experts on. All of us have had to set up the meetings and get them televised. So I'm referring to the first bullet, and I thought that the subsequent bullets sort of followed on the first bullet, which is basically talking about all charter amendments proposed by the Charter Commission shall be presented to the public at two or more public hearings. So my intent and I'm fine with just having a legislative intent, is that as you move to your final consideration, that those be done in geographic locations. This is not a blank check because we don't have any blank checks, and that we will help pay for the being televised and the additional rent or cost for space.
Thank you.
So I'm going to withdraw my motion and just make that a clear legislative intent. When we say encourage, that's what we mean. It comes with a expectation and some additional funding.
Also, I would encourage our friends that, you know, if you use one of the PCC campuses, they have, like at PCC Cascade, they have spaces that are actually already set up for distance learning, and that would make, I think, adapting to community TV easier. But the city is committed to work with you and offset those budget costs.
Thank you.
If I might, I would be remiss if I didn't take advantage of this opportunity to say that I think the Charter Committee is a bit challenged. Half of our committee has been appointed in the last 2 months, and there's expectations that somehow we're going to be done in December, and we actually have some holidays coming up in the next couple of months. So I would be remiss if I left this room and said that I think that we need to have a deeper conversation about what the expectations are of the Charter Review Committee and the timeline that we have to complete our work.
Can I ask just a basic question? Mm-hmm. If you determined that you needed more time to do this
right.
in a thoughtful way, what does that fundamentally affect? The dates, the election in which you would refer stuff? Is that the biggest consequence of that?
No, sir. Commissioner Fish, what it would impact is right now we're getting ready to do public hearings on the administrative changes. Those would go on the primary ballot. And so if it took us until March of next year to complete our tasks, I think we are required to have all of information to you 120 days prior to the election. We would still make that for the November election next year, but I just don't want to leave this room and have you think that somehow in December we would have done like 10 public hearings and we'll be ready to go, because that's not the reality of where we are.
If I could piggyback, if I may. Some of the more recent appointees were appointed with limited terms, which would take them into, I'm losing track, but take them into early, mid-January or maybe into February. And as Ms. Hardesty, I got that right.
It's a learned behavior.
Just pointed out that in order to, whether or not it is, we're discussing an amendment that we would like to see in the May primary, in which case I believe the date that we need to have those filed is January 10th, if I'm not mistaken, or whether we have that longer timeline in terms of amendments. We have the problem of people leaving the commission. We have at least two commission members who are leaving as of December 31st.
So I appreciate the conversation. I'm not prepared to weigh in on that issue. I'm glad you flagged it, and I need to spend some time with Commissioner Saltzman and his office who are staffing this, and maybe Lindley and you to sort of, I think it warrants serious consideration. I haven't had an opportunity to sort of delve into it, but I commit myself to do that in the next week or so. So
I'm available if you want to talk.
I appreciate
Do we have a motion on the floor right now?
No, I withdrew my motion in terms of requirement. It's just legislative intent, okay. A deep understanding between all involved in the room.
So just let me ask. I don't have any independent opinion about whether you should have one hearing on substantive issues or two hearings. What I have done is try to channel what I'm hearing from the Charter Review Commission and act more as an agent to get what it is that you need to be able to do your work. So more than one Charter Review Commission member has expressed to me a sense that the council has not been as cooperative as we can to getting your work done, that you've had a number of public hearings, and that you feel as though you all as a group feel as though, and I don't know that you two in particular do, but those that have contacted me too, that this requirement for two hearings is an attempt to make it more difficult to get your work done in a timely manner. Is that an accurate representation? Because if it is, I'm prepared to make a motion. If you're okay with the two substantive hearings, I'm okay with that. But I'd like to get your candid reaction as to whether or not you think this is actually furthering public interest or possibly obstructing public interest.
I would say, thank you for that question. I would say that it is kind of a combination of both, that we recognize, many of us recognize the need for public involvement and transparency, and as much, especially in Portland, but there is a sense that how can we get this done in the amount of time that we have, given all the factors that have been mentioned, perhaps even a few more, how can we possibly get this done so it becomes a stumbling block for that reason?
And I would just, if I
Joanne,
could,
yeah, I'd like to hear Joanne's reaction.
If I could just add, I was going to say that I actually think it's important to have, for policy issues, at least two hearings,
okay.
Because there's not a lot of public banging down the Charter Review Committee's door to actually provide testimony. And in fact, other than the Green Party, that's been the only organized effort that actually has come and put pressure on the Charter Review Committee. And so I do think it's important to get more voices in there. So those two hearings are extremely important,
okay.
I believe.
Well, I also, I mean, because the meetings happen outside my door. I also see who hangs out outside the door, and that's great. I think that kind of involvement by organized groups and lobbyists is important, but some of these issues are really, there are great discussions to be had about them, and I think the issue of timing so that you can do that is an important issue, and I see the connection of the dots, and again, commit myself to take a look at that so that we don't let this go on forever. I don't think you want that as well, but you have enough time to do it well.
And
so
Mayor,
we'll work on that.
I appreciate the mayor's comments, and Joanne, I appreciate your comments, because the reality is that every time we get a hearing out of this building, for example, we do see, and you're often at those hearings, we do see different people.
That's right.
And so I want you to know that if Dan's substitute listed two hearings or more, I came at that along the spirit that you're offering, not to obstruct, but to make sure a wide range of voices were heard. And frankly, my view on the term of the service is, and I've been involved in that fight for 25 years just talking about terms. The terms often become substantive just because if it's too short a term, you can't do your work. If it's too long, you create fiefdoms. What's the balance? So I instinctively view term as a substantive matter, not a procedural matter. That's why I would have preferred two hearings on that as well. I respect the will of the council. But I appreciate your guidance on this, because it is not our intent to make this unworkable.
Has anyone signed up to testify? Does anyone wish to testify on this matter? Anything, any additional discussion to be had by the city council? All right. Thank you for your work and your testimony. We really appreciate your service. We know how much time and effort this is. All right. Would you please call the vote on the substituted and not amended? Yeah, substitute and amended resolution.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Well, thank you, Sue Pierce and Joanne Hardesty, for coming today for this vibrant discussion and for this wonderful public process. I'm going to point out that these are two of my nominees to the Charter Commission. I'm really proud of you, and I appreciate also Commissioner Salzman having taken the burden of the staffing of the commission from July onwards. It is a significant commitment of staff time within whichever office is doing it, as I found in the first 6 months. So thank you for your work. We will continue to support it. And thank you for your support of public process and recognizing that we are talking about amending the city's constitution, the city's charter, and it does require diligence. The other thing I wanted to mention is with the timelines that Commissioner Saltzman has proposed and which I'm supporting, it doesn't leave time to get it into neighborhood newsletters and into some of the monthly publications. So my office will certainly work with Commissioner Saltzman and with the Charter Commission to help publicize and get into other, as many publications as we can about the language which is being proposed, and anything else that you want to have publicized, we'll work with you on that. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank the council offices for all their help in crafting this process, especially Commissioner Fritz. I want to thank the 20 citizens who are serving on the Charter Commission, and I particularly want to thank Alex Villarreal of my office, who does the good work of staffing the Charter Commission, providing the minutes, and so keep up the good work. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to thank Commissioner Saltzman for taking up this task, and to Alex Villarreal for your good work on this. And we will take up the issue of timeline in the next couple of weeks. And again, thanks for your service. Aye. Resolution is approved. That gets us to 1166. And then we have two items that we need to talk about.
We're going the time certain.
Two time certains and two.
Oh, we still haven't done them. We have five items left to do. All right. Can you please read the title for non-emergency ordinance, item number 1145?
Amend the Portland Comprehensive Plan, list of significant projects, public facilities plan, and sanitary sewer element to include additional sanitary sewer projects in the Fano Creek Basin necessary to meet existing level of service standards, serve designated land uses, and protect public health and safety.
Commissioner Dan Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. This comprehensive plan ordinance relates to the Bureau of Environmental Services proposal to construct a new sewage pump station near the south end of Southwest 86th Avenue, near the existing Fano Basin pump station in Washington County. This is to increase sewage pumping capacity for the Fano Creek Basin. The added capacity will ensure that the system can handle all wastewater flows during large rainstorms. Last year, a Washington County hearings officer denied the city's land use review application to expand the existing Fano Basin pump station on the property already owned by the city. So BES has purchased property adjacent to the existing pump station for the new facility. The city will apply to Washington County for land use approval and for the necessary building permits required for construction at this site. And with that, I will turn it over to staff if you have any presentation or comments.
We do, and we do have a presentation.
Okay.
Commissioners and Michelle Kunick with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. I'm also joined by Dan Hebert with the Bureau of Environmental Services, and we have Andre Baugh joining us in a few minutes with the Planning and Sustainability Commission.
Can I just ask a question? Which item are we now addressing, Carla?
1145.
Okay.
Well, interesting. We seem to have lost a few slides here. So I'm just going to speak to you about the relationship between this amendment and Portland's comprehensive plan, kind of set some of that foundation before Dan speaks more specifically about the project itself. This matter was heard by the Planning and Sustainability Commission on September 13th, and they recommended amendment to the comprehensive plan's list of significant projects, the public facilities plan, and the sanitary sewer element to add some additional projects necessary in the Fano Basin to protect public health and safety. This amendment, while it's making these changes, is a post-acknowledgement amendment. The BES is still intending to fully update the sanitary sewer element and its portions of the public facilities plan as the city goes through periodic review, which is ongoing, as is required by the state. So Portland's comprehensive plan has three major components. There's the goals and policies, the map, and a list of significant capital projects. It's that third piece, that list of proposed projects that we're proposing to amend today. We're also proposing to amend the public facilities plan, which is a support document to the comprehensive plan. And that public facilities plan was adopted by council and acknowledged by the Department of Land Conservation and Development back in 1989. It includes an overview document that has a list of significant projects, which is the same as the list of significant projects that's adopted as part of the overall comprehensive plan. And then it also includes a number of specific elements. So there's an element specific to sanitary sewer, which we're also proposing to amend today. And these documents, as I mentioned, were adopted as supporting documents and comply with statewide planning goal and comprehensive planning goal 11. The statewide planning goal requires the development of this public facilities plan, and specifically that it include projects necessary, sewer projects necessary to support the growth that's anticipated over 20 years. Our comprehensive plan goal 11, public facilities, addresses service responsibility for infrastructure services and includes specific policies and standards related to sanitary sewer provision. So we do have findings included in the ordinance on those goals. The sanitary sewer element itself includes kind of a greater level of detail about the existing and proposed systems, more information on the project specifics, timing, location, details such as that in a map, and anticipated cost and funding mechanisms for those facilities. So just as an overview of the process, as I mentioned, this is a post-acknowledgement amendment to the existing comprehensive plan. Because the sanitary sewer project list was adopted as part of the comprehensive plan, and since we're applying statewide planning goals. So we have followed the procedures as outlined in ORS 197.610 that relate to those post-acknowledgement plan amendments. Our zoning code also lists these type of textual amendments as legislative procedures. So we followed the legislative procedures outlined in zoning code chapter 33, including public notice and hearing requirements. We also decided to go kind of above and beyond that and notify residents within 1,000 feet of the proposed project site, just to make sure that we've notified as many people as might be interested, and full details of both the DLCD notification and requirements and those public review and notification requirements are in the project record. In terms of the process so far, as I mentioned, this was heard by the Planning and Sustainability Commission and recommended. If it was to be adopted here at City Council, it would be forwarded for acknowledgement to the Department of Land Conservation and Development as a post-acknowledgement plan amendment. So with that, I think I'd like to turn it over to Dan, who can speak more specifically about what we're actually proposing to amend.
Yes. Good morning. My name is Dan Hebert. I'm an engineer with the Design Services Division of the Bureau of Environmental Services, and I'm the assigned project manager for this particular project, as amongst many others.
Sorry, we're not actually matching what's on the screen. No, we're...
Go to the one you want, and I'll switch you up there.
Okay. Thank you.
Good morning. Again, Dan Hebert with Environmental Services. The first slide after the title slide is a map that depicts the sewer system in the Fano Basin area and southwest Portland. And really the thing to put it in kind of geographical perspective is that the Sano Creek Basin is in the upper left-hand side of that particular map, and there's a large red line kind of crossing down. That's the Sano Creek Interceptor that collects all the flows that are generated in the Sano Creek Basin that include some areas that are within the city of Portland and some are within Washington County. Those flows all accumulate and come down to a point that near the end, the southern terminus of Southwest 86th Avenue, where there's an existing diversion manhole that either allows the flows to be diverted into the Fano Basin, existing Fano Basin pump station, or to flow to Clean Water Services conveyance system, where they're, if in that event, they're delivered to the Durham treatment plant. If the Fano Basin pumping system picks them up, they pump it to the east along an existing about 17,000-foot force main that ties into the city of Portland's sanitary sewer system at Southwest 31st and Multnomah. And we've been, again, the existing pump station was installed in 1998 and started up in 2000. And we've since that time been monitoring that Fano Basin fairly intensively, and we've developed a lot of data with regards to actual flows. And we know from that data that the peak storm inflows that are produced by infiltration inflow in the basin exceed the pumping capacity of the existing pump station. And so we're tasked with trying to find a solution in coordination with Clean Water Services and the DEQ to handle that existing flow so we can manage it in accordance with our NPDES permit and an existing service agreement we have with Clean Water Services. And so we're here to talk about the solution that we've selected for that. Before I do that a little bit, I'll talk a bit about the capacity issues in the station. In addition to the pumping solution that I'll talk about shortly, Bureau is also pursuing a two-phase infiltration inflow mitigation program in the basin. And the first phase of that basin that's underway right now is to manage or resolve local capacity issues in the upper portion of the basin that are intended to maintain and not allow the peak storm flows to increase. And then the second phase of that program that the Bureau is involved in is intended for the foreseeable future to manage and improve the infiltration inflow problem in the basin so that we maintain a peak flow to the pump station at the lower end of the interceptor in a range of about 44 cubic feet per second. And we think that's based on the technologies we know about and the techniques we have for our inflow and infiltration mitigation is about as the best we can do in that basin. So if we can maintain that peak flow of 44 cubic feet per second, our existing pumping capacity at the station we have there now is 24 cubic feet per second. So we have a deficiency of 20 cubic feet per second that we need to install in order to be able to handle the flows that are generated during a five-year storm in that basin. So we've evaluated many options. One first option was building what we're calling the Southwest 86th Avenue Pump Station and the associated facilities with that. We also looked at the option of building another pump station higher up in the basin, generally at the intersection of near the intersection of Oleson Road and Beaverton Hillsdale Highway, which would have required another pressure line system that would have had to go east in Beaverton Hillsdale Highway for about 20,000 feet or so and would have required significant improvements in the gravity sewer system in Bertha Boulevard that would receive that flow if that project were constructed. Another option we looked at was building roughly a 5 million gallon wet weather storage tank in an area somewhere close to the existing Fano Basin pump station that would capture those peak flows during a storm and then after the storm bleed the flows back into the interceptor system to be pumped by the existing system. And we also looked at diverting excess flows to Clean Water Services and coordinated with the Clean Water Services staff on that alternative. And our engineering staff and our modeling staff worked very closely with the Clean Water Services staff for a period of several months, about a year or 2 years ago on this. And Clean Water Services, in addition, contracted with a consulting firm to evaluate their system requirements and the capital improvements that would be needed if the flows were diverted to Clean Water Services in lieu of our building an additional pump station at the location or near the location of our existing pump station. And it was really determined that diverting those flows to Clean Water Services system would have required some significant capital improvements in their system in terms of either upsizing and building a parallel gravity interceptor alongside the existing gravity interceptor or building another wet weather pump station in another location somewhere to the south of the existing Fano Basin pump station, along with a force main that would have had to be constructed from that new pump station location to the influent pump station at the Durham treatment plant. And looking at all those options, we've selected and we'd like to proceed with the new Southwest 86th Avenue pump station and the associated facilities. And the reasons for that are what's listed on the slide. We believe it's the most efficient way to capture the flow in the Fano Creek Basin. It's the least disruptive to the public and the most cost-effective based on the cost analysis the Bureau has undertaken. And we believe it's the least impact to the Clean Water Services collection and conveyance system if we take those flows out before they get to their collection system. So the three main project elements that we're proposing to do are one, this 20 cubic foot per second minimum capacity pump station that will be built on the property the city acquired in August of this year in an area on that property that is outside the 100-year floodplain and it's outside the natural resource area that's mapped by Washington County, which were two of the major issues that were a problem with our application last year that was denied by Washington County. And we'd also require a new diversion flow control manhole on the existing interceptor just east of Fano Creek, where the flows can either be controlled to go to the new pump station that we're proposing, or if the flows in the interceptor, which they will do during storm events, exceed 20 cubic feet per second, that excess flow can be diverted to the existing Fano Basin pump station that would activate under those wet weather conditions to pumping in concert with the new pump station. And the third element, major element, is a gravity sewer connection from that expanded diversion control manhole into the new pump station wet well. We've also tried to address in our proposal, or we intend to address, some very significant operational reliability issues in the pump station in terms of electrical reliability. Currently, the existing station has a single PGE power feed and a very large diesel generator system. What we're proposing to do with the new project is to enlarge the existing PGE power feed to feed both of the pump stations and bring in a second independent PGE power feed with the same capacity to serve both of those pump stations, and at the same time maintain the operation of the diesel generator at the existing station in the event that both PGE power feeds should ever fail for any particular reason. We would still have the existing 24 cubic feet per second Fano Basin pump station capacity to pump the flows in the interceptor. And if all of those three systems fail, which I could point out really exceeds the DEQ and EPA reliability requirements, flows could be diverted to the Clean Water Services system based on a cooperative agreement we have with Clean Water Services. And they would control the decision as to whether those flows would enter their system or not, because they have some pretty serious capacity issues during storm events in their conveyance system. And they, if we were to introduce flows under certain conditions, they would actually result in sanitary sewer overflows in the Clean Water Services system that, in our terms of agreement with DEQ and Clean Water Services, the city would be responsible for any penalties or fines associated with that. Also like to talk a little bit about some what we think are fairly significant public outreach involvement processes that we've been involved in for the past two or almost 3 years now in working on this project. Stephen Sykes in the Office of the Director has been managing that work for me, and it's included a number of presentations to the local citizens participation organization in that portion of Washington County, public meetings, informational flyers, local newspaper media stories have been coordinated, frequent, I believe, almost weekly or biweekly email updates to a list of several hundred people that have indicated they're interested in what we're doing on that project to keep them updated. And we maintain a project website to keep the people advised as to what's going on as best we can, where we actually upload any project documents that were produced as a part of the design to go onto the website and are available to anybody that's interested in that. So we know that the neighborhood residents have expressed a lot of concern. They're in many cases opposed to this project, and I'm sure you'll hear testimony to that effect this morning. We're trying to address the concerns that we've heard from the public in terms of improved facility design, in terms of odor suppression, vibration and noise control, and working to try to incorporate neighborhood feedback in the design of the aesthetics and the layout of the pump station site that we're proposing. We had a meeting with a group of the neighbors last Thursday evening for just that fact, a workshop or a meeting with some the neighbors that actually border on the site and are in the site view of the site, and we intend to follow that up with at least two more or more workshops if we need that. So we're here this morning to talk about that project and asked the council to authorize amending the public facilities plan to list the three project elements, the pump station and the gravity sewer connection and the diversion manhole. And following that process, that certainly, doesn't mean we're finished with our permitting process. We still have to go through a land use approval process with Washington County. actually two land use approval processes, one for the diversion manhole that is within the 100-year floodplain. That would be a type 2 application process in Washington County that we intend to try to make an application in December of this year. And the type 3 review application for the pump station itself, that would be likely an application submitted in April or May of 2012 for that project as we reach about 60 to 90% design on the project. We also, once we, assuming we do achieve or get authorization or land use approval, we still have to go through the building permit process on both projects and get grading permits, foundation permits, and building permits, and comply with all of those procedures. So, and that end, the Planning and Sustainability Commission, that after we had the hearing on the 13th, did vote to recommend that the City Council adopt the ordinance to amend the facilities plan. So.
Thank you.
I think we'd like to ask Andre Baugh, Chair of the Planning and Sustainability Commission, to join us for a few words.
Good morning, Council. My name's Andre Baugh, President or Chair of the Planning and Sustainability Commission. As mentioned previously, on September 13th, the Planning and Sustainability Commission held a hearing on the proposal to amend the city's comprehensive project list and public facilities plan. The PCE PSC voted to approve the proposed amendment. We received written and oral testimony in opposition to the project from one Washington County resident. The proposal outlined in the recommended draft amends the City of Portland Comprehensive Plan list of significant projects, public facilities plan, and sanitary sewer element to include additional sanitary projects in the Fennel Creek Basin necessary to protect public health and safety. The projects and new storage, new sewage pump station, diversion structure, and sewer extension are needed to address capacity deficiencies, as mentioned previously, and ensure the city meets its regulatory obligations and agreements with Clean Water Services. The Planning Commission recognizes the potential impacts to locating a sanitary sewer pump station in an existing neighborhood, including potential construction impacts and operational issues such as odor. We encourage all city bureaus to be good neighbors and continue to exceed applicable land use and development standards for public involvement and facility design to minimize potential neighborhood impacts. The Planning and Sustainability Commission recommends that City Council adopt the ordinance and amend the adopted comprehensive plan project list, public facilities plan, and sanitary sewer element as specified in the recommended draft. We appreciate the detailed work from BES staff and plain sustainability staff. Thank you. Questions?
Thank you, Mr. Baugh.
So I believe that concludes the presentations, but we do have, and for testimony, we do have Washington County Commissioner Greg Malinowski here, and I'd like to extend the courtesy to elected officials to be the first one to testify.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. Greg Malinowski, Washington County Commissioner, District 2. my legal address, 13450 Northwest Springville Lane, Portland, Oregon, 97229. I'm not representing the Washington County Commission here. I'm representing my district and the folks who elected me. Also, I am a director on Clean Water Services. And I'm kind of new to the job, been here less than a year, so I'm learning things all the time. You guys have done a great project here to try and manage this. In a perfect world, drainage basins would all have one sewer provider. We wouldn't be trying to pump things uphill because of a political boundary. However, that's not the world we have. My concern is, you can grow bananas in Antarctica if you have the money to build a nice dome and you bring dirt in, you bring water in, you bring heat in all the time, and you can grow bananas. But if the whole idea is to get bananas, you're better off with a field in Ecuador than a dome in Antarctica that is expensive to maintain and one earthquake away from a crack that'll bring the whole thing down. So what I'm suggesting here that to a great extent, you guys are doing a wonderful job of engineering, but you're doing it the hard way. You're pumping sewage 200 feet up in elevation, is what I've been told. 17,000 feet of pipe that if it cracks in the bottom, and I don't know if you have backflow devices in there or not, but if you don't, that would explain why one little crack, we end up with 17,000 feet of 2 or 3 feet round pipe, whichever it is, and I apologize for not knowing. The whole thing empties out the bottom. There's nothing to stop it from emptying out the bottom. Now, the new proposal you've got only shows one overflow. I believe you've got the flow will be good up to a 5-year storm event. So instead of overflowing every year, actually it's been 8 times in the last 10 years into that neighborhood, you'll only overflow once every 5 years. That's still asking an awful lot of a residential neighborhood. I'm not sure Clean Water Services has always been the easiest to work with in the past. We have good folks and they do a good thing, but they, you know, we take care of our side of the line. And I want to make sure that being new to this, that we can do the most effective thing, what will work cheapest for the taxpayers in both districts, what will be cheapest for you, and what will keep that neighborhood smelling like a regular neighborhood and not, you know, 8 out of 10 times smelling like something else. Part of our planning, had a chance to talk to some of the staff at Clean Water Services, is that we have two pumps poised at the side of Fano Creek. And when things go crazy, Fano Creek becomes an open sewer. That's our plan. That's our fallback plan if you guys' system doesn't work. Now, Fano Creek has been restored. We've cleared invasives. We're trying to get salmonoids back into it. But even a once every 5 year turning it into an open sewer is just not going to be very effective for that. I don't know if you guys have any creeks in this city where you routinely plan on doing raw sewage dumps, but it's just not playing well in Garden Home. I asked about taking those pumps out if we were so sure this system was going to work, and they said, well, then, Greg, it'll be stored in people's basements, so where do you want the raw sewage? So I guess the pumps are staying for now. We haven't ever had to use those pumps yet, because when we get an event that is greater than what you guys can handle and it comes through our system, we get guys up at 2 o'clock in the morning to take suction trucks out, and they drive those suction trucks to a manhole cover near your facility and pump them full of sewage. And then we drive them several miles down the road and find another manhole cover that doesn't have restrictions and pump it in there. I don't think we're sending you guys a bill for that. And frankly, if that's the plan to keep from sewaging up Fano Creek, I'd sure encourage you guys to buy some trucks and get some crews, because turning people out at 2 in the morning to do things, they charge extra for that. And once again, it's a system. I'm saying it can work. You guys have done an excellent job. You've involved the community. I sure would like to see you work with Clean Water Services to come up with a system that perhaps will save you some money and will certainly save the nearly annual event of a sewage dump. We had one this year, and I guess last week, from what I've been told, we had the odor of sewage, which is not the same as a sewage dump, and we're all thankful that it wasn't a dump. It just smelled like a dump. But it's a continuing issue and a problem for the people in this district. I have talked to Clean Water Services. They're getting me new numbers. The cost of hooking you guys into us, it would be substantial. There is no question that the Durham plant is under capacity for taking all of this flow. However, one of the first things I did as a commissioner was sit on a budget committee, and we spent $8 million to run a sewer someplace that we're not even sure will ever be in the urban growth boundary. We're making it big enough just in case. And my question was, well, do we ever worry about what it cost to provide sewer service? And the answer is no, that's handled by, you know, the county commission and the planning department. The sewage agency just responds. So since that was what I was told last May, I'm assuming that it's good here too. And if you guys really need us to provide this service, I'm betting we can figure out a way to do it. We would need a force main to do it. We would have to tear up some existing Washington County neighborhoods. But it's not normal in a Washington County neighborhood to have 8 sewer spills in 10 years. So I guess what I'm saying is, if you can put this off or at least work with us for a while to see what we can come up with, let me push from my side. Let me be your agent out there for you, because I want something that works. And being just a old-fashioned farmer, my background, I can tell you we have 3 creeks three different drainages that end on our farm, and trying to get the water from one drainage to another is an awful lot of work, and it fails. And I'm continuing to be concerned about a 200-foot lift of sewage. That's a lot of pressure at the bottom of the line. Not that it can't be done. You can grow bananas in Antarctica. But this will be a lot more secure if we can find another way. So I want to throw that out today. I'm afraid you're about to set something in cement. And frankly, from my position, if we have to keep running those trucks, you guys, if you guys aren't going to provide the trucks and crews, then you need to pay us to shuttle that sewage around when your system doesn't work. And if we need added capacity to serve your customers, we need you to help with that too. But I think it'll be a more secure and a longer term, a better investment of money to have it when you're not fighting gravity and God and everything else by shoving your sewage 200 feet in the air and transporting it 17,000 feet away to get it going your way. So I appreciate your time today. I'm willing to answer any questions, but I'm telling you that I want a fix that'll work. I don't want to make it hard for you. I don't want to make it hard for Clean Water Services. And I especially do not want to make it hard for this neighborhood. But 8 times in 10 years, you know, they don't even believe that we're not going to have another spill there. And the guys with the pumps, when I talked to them yesterday, they said, no, we're not going to take those pumps out. So you know what they believe. So I'm just asking you to work on a long-term solution with us. I'm sure you're quite capable and have the funds to do it the other way. But, you know, why fight gravity if you don't have to? Thank you for your time.
Thank you,
consideration.
Thank you, Commissioner. Do we have any other?
We've got one more person signed up. Michael Lilly.
Good morning. My name is Mike Lilly. I'm an attorney, but I'm representing myself, my wife, basically, today. We live in the neighborhood. And I sent you each a fairly detailed letter yesterday, hand-delivered to your office. I hope you got it. I'm not going to go through that and repeat everything. I want to make a couple other points here that I think are worth making. One is to explain why we're here today. You might ask yourself that question. Why is this before us? PES didn't ask for this before when they applied last year. Answer. The Washington County Hearings Officer looked at your facilities plan at my request and said, hey, this doesn't apply. This doesn't provide for a sewage pump station here. So that was one of the 7 reasons why that hearings officer said, no, you can't build a new pump station there in this neighborhood. So that's why we're here. Because in order to get that Washington County permit, you're going to have to make a decision that amends your comp plan. And I just wanted to point that out so you'd know why you're here. Second, we found out new information today. Mr. Heber tells us that he can't keep the peak flow to less than 44 cubic feet per second. That's brand new information. We've been hearing Mr. Heber talk to us for a couple of years now. I've never heard that before, and I'm hoping that he's going to give us the engineering study that shows us that. Because I don't know that it exists. I notice also that last year when we were doing this, that they asked for a 16 cubic foot per second pump. Now they're asking for a 20 cubic feet per second pump. Does that mean we've got 4 more cubic feet per second of water coming down the hill? I don't know. The reason, I hope everybody understands this, the reason we have a problem here is not the amount of sewage that people are flushing down their toilets in the West Hills. It's the amount of inflow and infiltration that's from groundwater, stormwater, flowing into your pipes through the leaks in the pipes. And that problem is just going to get worse. And your original plan, the plan that you have right now, has a fix for that. It says, well, we're going to have to fix these pipes up there and make the pipes in the West Hills not so leaky. That's your plan. It's the plan you have right now. It's the plan they want to throw out. I suggest you keep your existing plan. Let's make the pipes in the hills, West Hills, not so leaky. Because we've got a brand new pipe that was just installed this summer. We've already had a spill from that pipe. That pipe is already broken. It's only been a few months since it's installed. It's already broken, created a major sewage spill in our neighborhood. It flowed out down the path. And you know what happened to all that sewage? Well, part of it went into Fano Creek. The other part of it is still sitting there because your folks wouldn't clean it up. It's still there. My time is up. Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Lovey. This is a first reading. Staff is certainly available if there are questions.
I would be interested in a response as to the ability to have some cooperative agreement, as the Washington County Commissioner suggested, between Clean Water Services and EES. What are the issues around that kind of a fix, if you will?
Good morning, Commissioners. Dean Marriott, Environmental Services Director. With me is Bill Ryan, our Chief Engineer. Bill has been very involved with working with